The reading today of Luke 15 is many of the stories, as I told the children, of lost and found. This is part of three parables. The one lost sheep, the coin, and then the one that is much more well known, the story of the prodigal son. And so we're reading two of these stories today. Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so Jesus told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Now, I will admit that I often have overlooked the parable of the woman who searches for the lost coin. My eye just starts right with the shepherd who looks for the one sheep, and it just moves swiftly to the story of the prodigal son that begins in verse 11. And I realized I'm not the only one who does this, because I looked for a hymn in our hymnal that had to do with a woman sweeping and looking for the coin, and there were none. There were lots of stories about the songs about the Good Shepherd and the 23rd Psalm, but none on this image. And I'm a bit reluctant to admit that I didn't notice for a long time that in this parable, it uses the image of God as a woman. I just didn't notice it. I mean, there is God, a housewife, a woman with a broom. It's easy to skip over. It's only in Luke, and it's the only female image of God in the New Testament. So the symbol of the broom is as important as a symbol of a shepherd's crook or a shepherd's, what would we call it, the shepherd's kind of staff to represent Christ who searches, who seeks, who yearns for the lost. This fact of God and the female image kind of just gets filed back in my mind. And I think someday there's going to be a trivia question, and I will know the answer about this. But this week, the image became much more real for me. I have a friend whose name is Beth. She's part of that pastor's group I go to every year that I've been going to for, close to a couple of decades. Beth has two children. They are wonderful girls. I've met them, and it's actually true. And she has left full-time ministry to do a season where she cares for her children. So she's a parish associate like you are, Erwin. She's a parish associate in a church in Asheville, North Carolina. And all my friends about 2 weeks ago started getting the buzz about Beth, that she had gone to the doctor and she was really sick and they didn't know what was going on, and they drew blood and they admitted her to the hospital almost immediately because she had some kind of cancer and they could not figure out what was going on. Her father is an oncologist. He looked at the reports. He couldn't figure it out right away. So they sent Beth the next day up to Duke Hospital in Raleigh-Durham, which is hours away, where they identified it and started some very aggressive treatment. And all her friends were at a loss. We want to do something. We want to pick the kids up after school. We want to make meals. We want to clean the house, but we can't. We live too far away. And we know she really doesn't need to be bothered by our phone calls right now. So we're praying for her. We put together a book. We're on a website that just gives details. But yesterday, I couldn't help but text her. I was working on the sermon, and I found a file that had been written about this, and it was written by Beth maybe 15 years ago. And so I texted her and said, "Beth, I'm working on Luke 15 today. God, as a woman with a broom looking for the lost coin." I said, "I want that image of God for you. God, like the Filipino nurse's aide who comes into your room late at night and empties your trash and sweeps your room and makes your cover comfortable and moves that little rolling table close enough to you so you actually can get to the water when you're thirsty. It's the woman who looks at you and smiles at you, not in a way that's dismissive and I'm too busy, but a smile that says, I know you're here and I see you. I want God sweeping ceaselessly through your body, sweeping away that cancer from every nook, out of every cell, out of every drop of blood, and doesn't stop until all that cancer is found. May it be so with you." The scribes and the Pharisees, the good religious folks, the elders and the deacons and the Presbyterians, they were uneasy with the kind of people that were coming to Jesus. They were sinners and tax collectors. And they started grumbling about the kind of people Jesus is bringing in and eating with, even worse. And so Jesus begins to tell them a story, a parable. And I'm not really sure it calmed them down very much. Because it's like God is a shepherd, and we think shepherds are really cute. Well, not so much. I mean, they're in the wilderness, they're by themselves, they don't shower, they tend to be really uneducated, not lovely people. You don't really want to be a shepherd, but they knew the 23rd Psalm, so they kind of put up with it. And then they're into a real shock. God, like a woman who sweeps, really? Like a woman who sweeps out the house. Stunning. It's an image of God that really is a shocker. It's a poor woman, a housewife, and she has only 10 coins. And 10 coins was about 10 days worth of wages. I mean, it was a savings. It was important, but it wasn't an enormous amount. I mean, it might give the family some extra reserve for a little bit if times get hard. It might bring some extra protein or food to the table, but it isn't a matter of life and death, but it is to her. She stops everything, all work ceases, and she goes and she searches for that coin. Now, if you know about anything about traditional societies, I mean, these are societies before or without dishwashers and microwaves. There's no refrigerator or stove. There's no grocery store you can buy for a week. No, you have to do everything every day. So stopping from the daily routine will throw the whole week off. I mean, it may really mean that her family would not eat that night because she had worked so late. This coin meant a great deal to her, even though it was of little value. Some people would say, don't waste your time on such a small pittance, but not her. She throws a lamp lit, and she gets the broom, and she sweeps everywhere, carefully searching, that maybe if she puts the broom right, she can see the glint of the coin, and that it will be found again. I imagine her turning over the sofa cushions and actually getting her hands in those places you don't want to go. She reaches into the corners with her broom that are so forlorn, not even the dust bunnies can get there. She comes across things that she had long forgotten she saved, that she has been able to live without, but she was pretty sure she couldn't at one time. She searches until she finds the coin, and then she calls her friends together saying, come, I found the coin, rejoice, celebrate with me. I found my lost coin, count on it. It's the kind of party that God's angels throw every time one of the lost souls returns to God. Did you catch here that the main emphasis of this parable isn't on the coin that was found? No, the emphasis is really on the one who searches, about the shepherd, about the woman. It's a story about the nature of God, not so much about that which is lost. This God, our God, searches for the lost relentlessly, searches with this great love. And really, the coin does nothing but get lost. The story isn't so much about how we should act, but rather how God in Christ acts. God not only loves, but seeks and searches and saves with a love that goes at great lengths for the lost. The love of God is the kind of love that never calls off the search for the lost. God's love searches and saves until God finds. This is a God who longs for restored relationships. There is no place we can wander out of the loving reach of God. One person sums up this passage in this sentence: our seeking is but a willingness to be found. Now, I'm caught by this phrase. When all my pastors have said, what are you preaching this week? I just say that sentence. Our seeking is but a willingness to be found. I'm caught by that phrase. Because some of us might say, really, Maggie, we're not lost. We're in church. We have some idea of where we need to be. I'm the 99 sheep that stay in the right place. I'm the 9 coins that are just where they need to be. One person who read The Prodigal Son, the later story, said, I hate that story because I'm the good sister. I stayed at home. I took care of things, and I don't get a party. But I want to focus on that phrase, the willingness to be found. Maybe us older sisters, maybe us 99 will say, well, that's a phrase we can live with. Maybe we can sweep away the dust bunnies, the things that clutter up our awareness of God, get them out of the way so we can follow God clearly again. And there's hope in that. It's a bit of joy. And tell you, friends, there is joy all over this passage. There is enough joy and hope for everyone, the lost and the people who know where they're supposed to be. When the woman finds that coin, she calls to her friends and neighbors and says, come rejoice with me. I have found the coin that was lost. Wouldn't it be more sense that she got all 10 coins and put them in one place safe? No, she decides to throw a party. And I imagine she sends a little kid down the way and says, I need you to buy more bread and cheese and meat and maybe a little bit of wine because we're going to have the party. And in my imagination, she spent that one coin and more to have the party. because the focus was on the feast and the celebration. I mean, her joy cannot be contained. She has to share it with her community. See, the community needs to celebrate for it to be complete. Verse 10 says, "Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God for the sinner who repents." And repent means turns towards God. Maybe repentance in this story is turning towards the God who does the searching, of being open to the grace of God that will find us. The invitation is to join in the community, to seek, to be found, to welcome, to celebrate. And maybe why this communion feast is called the joyful feast of the people of God. It's a taste. It's a reminder of that celebration when one is found. And then we have those old Pharisees that are grumbling about who Jesus is eating with, tax collectors, sinners. But the truth is, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Presbyterians were also invited to the feast and the party. Everyone has a place. The already found are invited too. They're invited to celebrate with the God who searches and the God who welcomes. It isn't like a me or them, it's an everyone. See, grace, God's amazing grace, isn't just for people I like or know, for the lost or for the found. It is for everyone and for every place we find ourselves in that spectrum. I served at Welcome Meal last night. I'm going to tell you, if you haven't served there in the last year, you need to get your heinies out and serve there on a Saturday. I made David serve. David, our intern, I said, "You have to go." And he said, "Yes, ma'am." He didn't say yes, ma'am, but he wanted to. And I thought, if I'm asking David to go there, it'd probably be good if I show up. So I showed up, and I've been going there now for 7 years, and I kind of know what I'm doing. I think I could run the place on my own. And I go down there, and I go in mode, and I start working, and I tell people I'm the pastor, and they pause for a little bit, and they give me a little deference. They think, "Ooh, the big girl serving today." And then they see how badly I served and they're not quite so impressed. But I get a little bit too focused. When people haven't got food and we have to get the chicken out there, I want to move quick. And when I move too quick, I don't do so well. And one of the regulars said, "Maggie, you seem a bit distracted tonight. Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I got a sermon to write and all this." And he said, "Can I pray with you?" And I said, "Oh, not now, I'm serving." He said, "Well, I'll wait till the end of the meal." And you know what? He actually did. And so I sat down with a table for him, and he prayed for me, and he prayed for all the pastors in town who would be preaching the next day. Oh, my Lord. And then he said, "Would you pray for my pastor? I go to this church. Would you do that?" Oh, my Lord. I felt so blessed by that. I thought I was the one throwing the party. And then I realized, no, the party was for me last night. I thought I was the one who was serving, and then I realized I was the one being served. I wonder if you, friends and sheep and coins, I wonder if you know what it's like to have a God who seeks out after you, that sweeps through all the dust and the refuge of your life and keeps on going until you are found. For we are never lost to God, even if it feels like God is lost to us. I wonder if you know what it feels like to be the 99 or the 9 coins and to be invited still into the joy, to be part of the celebration, to be reminded that the party is not complete without your presence, and the love is for you too. I wonder, when we begin to join in that joy, do we begin to see that all are precious to God, the one sheep, the one coin, all of us? I wonder if we in this church are becoming a place, a community, a church where we follow after the one who seeks. We follow after the one who sweeps and also become the ones who find and sweep and search and rejoice. I wonder if we're a place of welcome, of parties, a place where we can hear the shepherd call our name or feel that dust and grime swept off of us. And I wonder in that action if we just get a glimpse of God's amazing, seeking, tenacious love. I wonder if the story encourages us to be seekers and the sought after, the beloved and the lovers, the givers and the receivers of grace. Maybe we get to throw great parties as well as being the special guest. I wonder if God just might be here now, sweeping our path clear so that we can follow the ways of Jesus, not just in this sanctuary, but though so we're swept out into the world, clearing the way for God's grace, for God's love, for God's justice. I wonder if it might just be so.